Chapter 8. The Spy in the Castle. We needed to know about the interior of the castle in order to rescue the king, but who could give us this information? We needed a spy in the castle. Then I remembered Johan, the Duke's servant, who I had met at the inn in Zender on my first day in Ruritania. Could we persuade him to help us? Perhaps the innkeeper's daughter, Emmeline, could convince him. "Come, Fritz," I said. "We're going to the inn in Zender." Fritz didn't like the idea. "The King of Ruritania in a simple inn? People might recognize you," he said. "You must wear your long cloak with the hood." "Okay, but don't worry, Fritz," I said. "I've been there before." We found the inn easily and sat down at a table. The innkeeper's daughter served us wine. I removed my hood, and her eyes widened in surprise. She thought I was the king. "No, it's only me, Emmeline. Rudolf Rassendil from England," I said. "Don't you remember me? I stayed here before the king's coronation. I have shaved my beard since then."
"Oh, of course it's you," said Emmeline. "My mother and I were talking about you. We saw a picture of the king at his coronation, and you really look like him."
"Yes, I know," I laughed. Then I changed the subject. "How's your friend Johan?" I asked, trying to sound casual.
"Johan? He's fine. I see him sometimes," she said.
"Does he still work at the Duke's castle?"
"Yes, and he's very busy now. The Duke suddenly fired all the women servants and made Johan responsible for the entire castle."
"Do you want to help a friend of mine?" I asked her. I put 4 gold coins on the table. Her eyes opened wide when she saw the money.
"Of course," she said. "What must I do?"
"Tell Johan to meet you at the entrance to Zender at 10 o'clock this evening," I said.
"Why? Are you going to harm him?"
she asked, looking afraid. "No, I won't harm him if he does what I ask," I replied. The young woman agreed and put the coins in her pocket. Fritz and I smiled at each other. Our trap was ready. The following morning, Rupert de Hensau returned to see me at Fritz's house. He found me in a chair in the garden. I was listening to a love song that one of the servants was singing, and I was thinking about Princess Flavia. He bowed low and laughed.
"The king is in love," he said.
I didn't reply.
"Can we speak privately?" he asked. "I've got a message for you from the Duke."
I asked my friends to leave, and de Hensau sat opposite me.
"Come, Rassendil, now we're alone," he said. "Let's speak freely."
I sat straight. "If you don't know how to talk to a king, ask the Duke to send another messenger," I answered in a very cold voice. He calmly wiped some dirt from his boot.
"Why continue with this farce, Rassendil?" he said. "We both know you are not the king."
"Because it isn't finished yet," I replied. Rupert came closer.
"I told the Duke to hang you," he said. "But he's generous. He suggested giving you 1,000,000 crowns and making you leave Ruritania."
I laughed.
"I'm not leaving Ruritania," I replied.
"I prefer your suggestion."
"Then you will be hanged, you impostor," he said, with a cruel smile.
De Hensel's threats didn't frighten me. I was a changed man since the coronation, and I felt confident and brave. "I'm sorry, you won't live to see it," I replied. De Hensau asked a servant to bring his horse, and then he turned to me and bowed. Suddenly, Rupert pulled out a knife and stabbed me. I turned, and the knife penetrated my shoulder. With a cry, I fell back, and De Hensau ran from the garden, jumped onto his horse, and rode away quickly across the valley. I was taken to bed,
and lay unconscious for many hours. When I woke up, Fritz was next to me.
"Don't worry, your wound will heal soon," he said. "And I've got some good news for you. The Duke's housekeeper, Johann, is here in the house."
I had forgotten about our plan to trap Johann. "Did he come to the city entrance?" I asked.
"Yes, he did, and we were waiting for him," Fritz replied.
"Excellent. Will he help us?"
"He will. We offered him gold and he was happy to take it. He hates the Duke, but he's too frightened to leave the castle," he said.
"Of course," I said. "Johann knows all the Duke's dangerous secrets. If he left, the Duke would kill him." I was weak and suffering badly, but I was happy to hear this news. I asked to see Johann, and we questioned him about the castle. He gave us some important information.
"The king is a prisoner in the castle and is chained," he told us.
He drew a map of the castle and showed us the location of the king's cell.
"He is guarded day and night by 6 men, including Rupert de Hentzau. They take turns to guard him, 2 at a time. If anyone tries to rescue him, the guards will kill him."
"What will they do with the king's body?" I asked.
"The Duke has thought of that," Johann said. "There's a wide pipe outside the king's window. The bottom of the pipe is in the moat. The guards will tie a weight to the king's body and throw it down the pipe. Then the body will fall to the bottom of the moat."
Sapt, Fritz and I looked at each other in horror at the cruelty of this plan. We couldn't get near the king. If we entered the room, the guards would kill him immediately.
"Does the king know about the pipe?" I asked. "Yes, he does," Johann said. "The king is a brave man, but when he heard about the pipe, he turned white with fear." "Ah, sir, the castle of Zender is a terrible place. All the men in it are murderers."
"Is Antoinette de Mauban still at the castle?" I asked.
"Yes, she is," Johann replied. "But she looks terribly sad, and the door to her room is locked when she's inside."
"So she's a prisoner too," I said. "The Duke doesn't love her."
"No, he doesn't," said Johann. "But he won't let any other man near her. De Hentzau is in love with Antoinette, and when the Duke leaves the castle, he goes to her room. If the Duke discovered this, he would be furious."
I asked Johann to watch the events at the castle closely and promised him more money. Then I sent him back to the castle.